Hello and welcome. My name is Luke Burridge, and this is the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. It's the podcast where I review every science fiction book that I read, as I read it, when I read it, and the next episode comes along when I've read the next book. No real schedule there, it's just as and when I read the books. So if you want to know anything more about me, or about the podcast, or anything else that happens around here, please check out the very first episode of the podcast. That's the SFBRP episode number one. You can find that on, well, wherever you found this podcast, really, or just check out sfbrp.com. So, this episode, I'm going to be reviewing the Carl Sagan novel called Contact, and it was published in 1985. And I always think this sort of like late 80s period is really interesting for science fiction, because those books that are set in the near future, or even in the far future, they always presumed, these authors, they always presumed that the Soviet Union would carry on forever and the Cold War would just go on and on and on, unless sort of one side won in a big sort of nuclear exchange. And I always think it's very interesting, that idea, because the future, they think that the future is just going to be slightly different from the future that they're in at the moment, or in the present that they're in at the moment, whereas we know the future was very shortly going to be very different indeed. So they think it's a very realistic view of the future of just a few years' time, and us in that few years' time, it's just everything is changed so much that it's unbelievable. And I do think sort of like the end of the Cold War, the end of sort of like the Soviet Union, is one of those major steps that you just can't sort of, you can't write a novel set in the future without addressing it, especially if you've got it wrong. So this is where the book is set, in a near future, and it revolves around Eleanor, that she's the main character, and she is a leader in a SETI project. She's listening out for an alien signal, and pretty much right at the beginning of the book, this alien signal does turn up, and it's recorded, and it's a repeating series of prime numbers, you know, the same kind of idea that's over and over again, that mathematics is a universal language, and it's the best way to communicate, blah de blah de blah. So, the signal, the interesting thing about this signal, first of all, is that it contains an image of Adolf Hitler opening the Olympic Games in 1936. And this was actually the strongest television broadcast up until that point, because it was broadcast across to televisions, actually not televisions, but these screens that were put up in halls across Berlin is actually the historical setup to that. So it was a very strong signal, it was sent out, and of course it was picked up by aliens. The timing is just right that they've returned the signal, and they used this image as sort of like the image to sort of reflect back so we could pick it up. Also, in this signal, there's another few layers of encoded information, and when this code is cracked, it's discovered that this other information is plans to build some kind of machine. And nobody knows what the machine is for, and nobody knows what will happen when it's switched on, and that kind of thing continues. They build this machine, and I'm not going to go into anything more than that. It's not that I don't want to spoil the plot for anyone. It's mainly because past this point of about, you know, maybe half, two-thirds of the way into the book, I put the book down and didn't pick it up again. I just didn't even bother finish reading this book. The reason is, it's pretty much one of the worst novels that I've read in a long, long, long time. And I'm not knocking Carl Sagan as a writer, because I've read other books by him. I think the most recent book I read by him was The Dragons of Eden, which is a great piece of like popular science book as well. And I've read essays by him. And of course, now that you've got internet access and podcasts, I've even listened to interviews with him and speeches that he gave at conferences and teaching that he did as well. It's all really inspiring, but he should have stuck, in my opinion, he should have stuck to popularizing science rather than writing a novel. Which, you know, that's, because I just don't see the value in this book past his actual other writing as well. His other writing is just so far advanced of this. He's just not a novelist. For the start, his writing style just grates on me. First up, you know, look, I've always read and always done it with my own writing about writing stories and writing fiction, is that you should show, don't tell. Show, don't tell is always the big key. And it's like someone just forgot to mention that to Carl Sagan. He just doesn't have any idea about it. For an example, Ellie meets this guy, and after this long passage about them spending time together, suddenly it just says she was falling, oh, something like, she suddenly realized she was falling in love with him. And it's like, To be honest, I didn't even know how long they'd spent together. It turned out it must have been weeks or months or something like that, but that had never even been cleared up, actually, how long they're spending. And then suddenly, just out of nowhere, it just comes up. And up until that point, you don't have any clue that these two people were even remotely attracted to each other. And then when they do get together, it's not even explained. It's just sort of like suddenly there's a scene where they're together, and you don't find out about why she found him attractive, or even why he, or the reasons why they got together, or why they found each other attractive. It was just really weird. It just sort of like said, yep, then they were a couple, and it was tricky for them because it was in a political situation. It's just like, yeah, but I just don't believe it. And also, when introducing a character, Carl Sagan just, he tells us what they are like. It's like page after page of like, this person is very clever, and they're very influential, and they're very clever and funny and charismatic, and it sort of like takes pages and pages and pages, whereas a more skillful novelist could just sum up all of what you need to know about a character in like a single short exchange, or maybe a paragraph, or the most a whole page about one person introducing a character is all you should need, and then you should get to know them like through their actions and through what they do and what they say. But you never really read about what people do or say. You just read about events in this book. In fact, you know, I know it sounds bad, but I reckon literally within 2 or 3 minutes, I could have come up with better character introductions than what Carl Sagan sets out in this book. I mean, my character introduction might be a bit contrived in the way that, you know, they would say something to someone, and it would be a bit like, oh, the reason, you know, for this is because I've, you know, like, the reason I'm making this joke is for the purpose of character exposition. It would be that transparent, but at least it wouldn't be 5 pages of notes, like just detailing notes. It's like Carl Sagan he's written all these notes out for him to follow, so he's got a consistent character and he can go back to them, and he's got the history. It's like he's left it in the book for no reason, you know, and there seems to be no reason why he goes into so much detail about some of these characters, which you don't even recognize, you know, even after 5 pages. It's like when their name is mentioned later on in the book, it's just like, who's this person again? Really weird. Also, the world, because there's bits of technology that mentioned, the world has changed in some really big ways, but these big ways are never mentioned up until like halfway through the book, and then they're mentioned for some reason, but they haven't impacted the rest of the world, and then they're not mentioned again. And it's just, like, really random that this event pops up. It's like, this technology exists, and you're like, wow, that's cool. And then it's just laid aside, and you don't hear about it again. Very, very strange. Or maybe you do hear about it right at the end of the book, but you think that if there's some technology so big, it should have been mentioned sort of near the start of the book rather than halfway through, and it's like, oh, Carl Sagan's just thought of a nice idea, and he just slipped it in there. So, yeah, it's a bit random that way. And also, like I say, very little in the way of action, like, happens before our eyes. You know, it's not like you're reading something and something happens and it's sort of like, wow, that's great. Instead, what happens is that you're just told at the beginning of every chapter, this has now happened, that's happened, that's happened, and then it just goes on with the rest of the the rest of the chapter, and it sort of always just goes, and here's some, you know, some two people talking about religion, and then the next chapter starts, this happened, that happened, and now here's something about the, you know, this paradox or that idea or something like that, and it's just like really basic popular science messaging and preaching and lecturing, and they're just like essays. They're literally Carl Sagan essays, because I recognize, like I said before, I recognize Carl Sagan's writings and thoughts and Carl Sagan's particular areas of interest that he liked talking about, and they're just here in this book literally as a chapter on a subject, and I just don't like it. I really don't want anyone to fob off this sort of popular science stuff as a science fiction book, because I'm a big science fiction fan, and this just doesn't cut it with me. So that said, I am actually a big fan of like popular science as well. I recently read Bill Bryson's Short Guide to Everything. No, what's it called? I can't remember the name of it. Good book, though. I read it in like 2 sittings. Short History of the Universe, or Short History to Almost Everything, Practically Everything, or something like that. Another book that I would recommend if anyone's looking for some good, like, popular science, like, broad-range popular science book, is a book called Who Discovered What When. Can't remember the author, but that sort of covers a lot of the same ground as Bill Bryson's book, but in a better way, I think. Also, well, I just really like a lot of things. Also, if you want to learn about evolution, Dawkins' Ancestor's Tale is one of the best ways I've ever seen evolution set out, because it goes backwards through time rather than forwards, and I really like that idea. So you start off with what you know, which is yourself as a human, and it works backwards through evolution. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, so what I'm saying is that this book is really not a good popular science book, and it's not a good novel either. It's not a good science fiction novel either. It falls in between the two and just misses on both counts, I do think, as well. Also, like I say, the chapter structure really, really got to me. I just actually made a note here. It's like a Jackie Chan film, because in a Jackie Chan film, the only reason the plot exists is to link the cool fight scenes together. And the only reason that the plot seemed to exist in this book was just to link together like the clunky sort of essays that and lectures that are put in there as well. And I'm not kidding about sort of their clunky book. Literally, like Ellie like has sex with this guy, and then the sex is all skipped over, and then they have a conversation about how God can't be proved or disproved, or some of the existence of God can't be proved or disproved. And this is, like I say, really, really basic religious philosophy and arguments against God or for God or about being an agnostic and things like that. And it's just sort of like crammed in there for no reason. Or maybe there is some reason, but it's just like, it's so unsubtle, it's unbelievable. And Carl Sagan, he doesn't have to be subtle. You just read another one of his books, he just lays it out, the facts out bare, and it's like you understand it. It's with his character, rather than this really one-dimensional character of Ellie and all the other one-dimensional characters sitting around there. What else? Oh yeah, just a bit about the film of this book. And this is another reason why I put the book down. It's because the film, I really enjoyed it. I mean, like I say, it wasn't the best science fiction movie out there, but to my mind, it was superior to the novel in every single way. Like I say, the character of Ellie, I really admired her in the film. I liked her character. And in the book, she's just like stuck up, and as I say, just one-dimensional. And the moments in the film, there's so many memorable moments, like when the signal, when Jodie Foster or Ellie first notices the signal in the film, she's got these headphones on, she just sits up straight, and it's amazing. It's like one of those iconic images, well, not that iconic, but it's one of those things that you remember from the trailer. And in the book, it's just sort of skipped over. There's no real sense of discovery. And then when the message is decoded in the film, it's sort of edge of your seat stuff, and you're thinking, are they going to look at it? What's going to happen? And then the image of Hitler comes through. It's like, it seems like a massive controversial moment in history that this has come through. And in the film, it's just sort of like they said, oh, it's a message of Hitler or an image of Hitler, but the reason is this, this, and this, and it's sort of skipped over again. And in the film, when the old rich guy, he says, to solve the problem, think in three dimensions, not two dimensions, and you go, yes, and it's sort of like one of those real gotcha moments in the film. In the book, it's just like, literally, there's a passage which goes, and then they broke the code, and the next day, this happened, and then that happened, and like that, and so there you go. Of course, I don't want to, how do I put this? You know, sometimes a film comes out and you've read the book and you don't want to watch the film because you think the film might spoil the book in some way. This is the only time where I've had the opposite experience, where I've started reading a book and every time I was turning the page, it was ruining my enjoyment or my remembered enjoyment of the film that I saw, of the experience, of the ideas that were in the film. They were just sort of just so, like, they were just being wasted in the book and wasted on me in the book. I just had to put it down in the end. Even though, I guess the book ends in a different way than the film, I think I was just getting so much more out of the film. It was just so much more subtle. You know, the whole themes about religion in there, in the book, that it's like it's pounded into, and it's like, these people are doing this, and these people are thinking this. And I know that in the end, like in the film, Ellie goes away and she has this experience and comes back and she has no proof of it. So it's the whole thing about how she has to have faith in her ideas, or other people have to have faith in her that she's had this experience. And I know that's going to happen in the book, but I know it's going to be pounded into me. It's like, this is like faith in God, etc., etc. So, yeah, that's it, really. I guess I've gone on far too long. I've actually gone on more about this book that I dislike than I have about some of the books that I really did like. But I think I have to explain just how bad the book is and how little I enjoyed this. So I'm going to give this book 1 star out of 5, and it's pushing it there. It should get under 1 star, because I think if I don't finish a book, it should automatically be around about 1 star. But there it is. Lowest rating of any book so far in this podcast series. And I think 1 star means that even if someone gives you the book for free, you shouldn't read it. I think that's the way it goes, isn't it? I can't remember exactly what I said in podcast number one. No, I think it's like if you've got a 20-hour flight and you've got nothing else to do on a 20-hour flight or journey like that, do not read this book. Instead, read the airline magazine or the duty-free catalogue or the safety instructions and stuff before you read this book. Seriously, it's not worth reading at all. Saying that, the next book that I'm going to read is not one I've picked for myself. I was working on a cruise ship, and there was this paperback exchange shelf in the library, and there was a book, the only science fiction book there was Hunters of Dune by Brian Herbert and Kevin Anderson. And I've read these guys' books before, the other Dune books, The House Atreides, and the other prequels to the Dune series that they read. And those, you know, weren't that great. But so I know this book, The Hunters of Dune, isn't going to be a science fiction masterpiece, but I'm just sure I'm going to enjoy it more than Contact, because Contact was a 1-star book, and I think you can only go uphill from a 1-star review. So that's it for this episode. Please email me, luke@juggler.net. I think I forgot to mention that in the last episode there. So if feedback and book suggestions and anything else, please send them to luke@juggler.net. Visit the website, although I'm not sure if I'm going to do anything to the website just yet. But that's sfbrp.com. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the next review in the next episode, and goodbye for now.